Welcome to the Financial Samurai Podcast, where we endeavor to reach financial freedom sooner rather than later.
Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about when is the right time to hire a money manager. So recently, I've been trying to figure out why I've been more stressed than normal. And besides work and being a stay-at-home dad, I really thought about the proceeds I got from my rental house sale in 2017. I thought my stress would go down at least 80%, not having to manage pain-in-the-ass tenants, not having to manage a leaky roof or fixing a pipe or whatever that just keeps on happening with a rental property. I thought I would be like, really good and happy that I had all these proceeds. But what I didn't anticipate was the rise in stress from having to reinvest a sum four times greater than what I had ever invested before. I basically received about $1.8 million after commissions and fees, but before taxes, and I felt I had to put it to work in order to make sure I don't regret selling the house 10, 20 years later, because I am bullish on the San Francisco real estate market. So I needed to put that money to work. But I also was afraid of turning a good investment, what had been a good investment since 2005 when I bought the house, into a bad investment in 2017 if I invested poorly. So my stress simply morphed from, you know, owning a rental house to figuring out how to reinvest this money. And if it was much less, let's say it was like 100 grand or 200 grand, it would be well within the scope of what I invest every single year. But investing 1.8 million, that is pretty stressful, and investing four times greater than anything you're used to investing is pretty stressful, I would imagine. So I went through hours of deliberation regarding where to invest the proceeds. Of course, I wrote a post about that, and then I wrote a quarterly investment tracker to make sure I was making the right moves and to hopefully have people in the community tell me I'm an idiot if I'm doing this and that. And then I went to dinner a couple times with a real estate crowdfunding company to make sure that these people were legit. So I ended up investing another $500,000 in the fund. But, you know, that stuff takes time. It's exhausting to meet people, to do due diligence, to do research and so forth. But as someone who worked in the finance industry his entire career, who consulted for a couple digital wealth advisors for 3 years, and who has been investing his own money for over 20 years, I was familiar with the entire process of managing money and managing risk. You know, I've been through the dot-com bubble downturn, lost money there, made money there. I've been through the housing crisis with a significant amount of capital, lost a lot of money there. I learned my lessons. And so, you know, I was feeling okay. But there was one thing that finally pushed me into really considering hiring a money manager, and that's simply having way too many accounts to manage. When it comes to money, the path of least resistance is to simply hoard cash and do nothing. So at least by doing nothing, you won't lose any money, but hoarding cash is generally a bad idea since 2009 and probably since the beginning of time. What happens though, as you get older, is that your finances tend to get more complicated. You know, job changes create dilemmas for whether you should roll over your 401k into an IRA or not. You might start a business and launch your own SEP IRA or solo 401k, or you might have a nice liquidity windfall after selling your company. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And since I've been out of college for almost 20 years now, my finances have gotten quite diverse. And it's been partly on purpose because I want to diversify my money so I don't lose a lot of it in the next downturn. And right now, I'm managing or keeping track of 17 financial accounts at multiple financial institutions. And that is a lot of work to do because every single account requires the following. I need to keep track of the asset allocation. I need to keep track of its cash balance. I need to research investments. And I need to select the right investments. I need to reduce commission fees. I need to meet capital calls for my private investments. I need to keep track of when capital is going to be returned so I can figure out how to redeploy the capital. And so if you think about it, with 17 accounts doing these 8 things, it can get very, very complicated and it can take a lot of time. So one of the mistakes I made was after the market meltdown in early February 2018, I asked my wife to cut 3 checks. One to my SEP IRA, one to her SEP IRA, and one to our son's 529 account. You know, as business owners, you can contribute 25% of your salary to your individual SIP IRA accounts. So if you made $120,000, you can contribute $30,000 in tax-free contributions. As I had already super funded my son's 529 plan in 2017, only my wife and others are eligible to contribute up to $14,000 a year as of now. So I invested some of the proceeds based on our agreed upon investment framework in all accounts. When I realized about 25% of my wife's SEP IRA had been sitting in cash for who knows how long. And I was completely surprised because I try to keep all our investment accounts 100% invested. Our cash needs are met separately through various savings accounts. And due to too much cash in my wife's SEP IRA account, her account probably lost out on several thousands of dollars in lost paper profits in 2017 because the market went up 20%. But I'm not exactly sure how much she lost because I don't exactly remember how long that cash has been sitting there. And this is why everybody needs to consistently go over their accounts every month. You just think one way and it's kind of like the movie Memento. After a while, you just assume it's that way, but reality is that you made a compounded series of errors that could add up to very big problems in the future. So my other money management error was paying a commission because I bought the wrong ETF. So at Fidelity, one of my brokerage accounts, they have a list of like 60 or 70 commission-free ETFs. And because I invest in multiple tranches, my investment amounts tend to be smaller. Therefore, the commission takes a larger percentage of the trade value. So for example, I bought 1,000 worth of an ETF called DVY. This is a Dow Jones Industrial Average ETF one day and realized after the fact that the trade cost $5. $5 is a lot if you're only buying $1,000 worth of securities. It's such a waste. And if I wasn't paying attention, I would have spent $50 in commissions because I would have bought 10 tranches at $1,000 each. But luckily I caught myself and I invested in the appropriate ETF that is commission free. So these are the things that I need to work on. And these are the errors that I have made that I'm telling you guys because I'm responsible for all the finances. So from now on, I need to go through each account and not only check the holdings and asset allocation, but also make sure there's no excess cash sitting around doing nothing. And what's also important is making sure my investments and your investments make sense in each account, pre-tax or post-tax. For example, I'm more inclined to invest and trade more aggressively in my pre-tax investment accounts because I know I won't be touching them until the age of 60, and there are no taxes to file. For my after-tax investment accounts, they are more conservative as they are accounts that will be first accessed during any kind of liquidity crunch or downturn or whatever. And these funds are also earmarked so that I can finally buy that Hawaiian dream home. And that could be in the horizon over the next, let's see, 3 to 5 years. Who knows? But that's the plan, at least, to go back to Hawaii, be close to family, and grow up in a house that's close to the beach and go from kindergarten to 12th grade. I think it'd be a great lifestyle. And since I've got to pay taxes on any dividends or capital gains, my after-tax investment accounts have lower turnover and house all my tax-free municipal bonds. Finally, I've got to do a top-down asset allocation of all my accounts, so the 17 accounts, to make sure that the overall investment asset allocation fits my profile and investment objectives. You know, I used to do this manually since 2012. In the Excel spreadsheet, but since then I've linked all my investment accounts to Personal Capital's dashboard and can just click their investment checkup tab to get a snapshot. And I recommend you guys all do the same. Go from bottoms up, account by account, make sure every single one is appropriate, and then do a top-down analysis and make sure your overall asset allocation exposure is what you want. So if you can't tell by now, I am very close to paying for a money manager to manage my finances, our finances, because there's just so much to manage. And I'm not doing a great job now that I'm a full-time dad. But I'm still reluctant to pull the trigger because I've always managed my own money. I dislike paying fees. And I realize a wealth manager can only manage some of my accounts, not all. The only accounts a wealth manager can manage are the 4 after-tax investment accounts. Everything else, the 13 other accounts, I've got to manage. So if I invite a wealth manager to start managing, then I've got to manage the wealth manager and it just gets even more complicated. So I don't think it's presently worth my time unless I can find a manager who can manage everything. And it's not just that, actually, I just realized. I also have to manage my passive income cash flow generation. it's not easy to figure that out. You know, I have a target of 200 to 250,000 a year, so I don't have to work and I can just be, you know, less stressed and do my own thing. But to get to that level takes a lot of coordination and planning, and it also takes a lot of tax management. So here are some of the considerations for when you should hire a wealth manager. One, when they can manage most of your investments. Two, when you have no desire to manage your money, right? You might have a baby boy, baby girl, and you want to spend all your time with him or her. Three, when you have no understanding of investing. Investing can be very intimidating and complicated if you didn't study finance, you didn't work in the financial services industry, and you have no passion for finance. Four, when investing stresses you out and keeps you up at night, it's great to outsource that stress to someone else to at least hope or believe that someone else is taking care of your money and stressing out for you. Five, when your job, business, or family keep you too busy to even review your investments. Six, when you can do a much better job making money elsewhere. For example, you might be an entrepreneur who is focused on online media, and you can make much more money in online media than spending the time looking at all your investment accounts. Seven, when they've showed a fantastic long-term track record, right? We're not talking about bucket shops who have, you know, come out over the past couple of years and said, hey, we can make you a guaranteed return and all that. Don't listen to that. You know, hopefully they have like multi-decade track record. Let's see. Number eight, when you can calculate the estimated annual fee and feel you'd happily pay the amount to not have to manage your own money, right? So know exactly what you're paying. If you have $1 million and they're charging you 1%, that's 10,000 bucks. If you feel it's worth the peace of mind and having someone, an expert, spend 40 hours a week looking after your money for 10,000 a year, then I think that's worth it. And then finally, when you have a significant amount of assets and you would feel better having a professional looking after that money, right? If you have $10 million and you screw it up by 5%, you know, you're losing $500,000. Hopefully a professional who is all over your money won't screw you up as badly. But again, you just never know. If I had a digital wealth manager like Personal Capital or Wealthfront managing my investments, I would never have had a 25% cash weighting for my wife's portfolio. They would have automatically invested my cash on a predetermined investment asset allocation, which I'd have agreed upon. But I would have had to pay 0.25% to 0.89% fee, but that's not as bad as missing out on 20% gains on the cash balance in 2017. But unfortunately, again, as far as I can tell, digital wealth advisors and wealth advisors in general are not managing your pre-tax investment accounts like your SEP IRA. So as I conclude this podcast, I realize that I no longer enjoy managing our money, our investments. They give me unwanted stress, even in a bull market, which is really, really sad. Although things are looking a little bit dicey now, it doesn't seem like it's as smooth sailing given rates have gone up. You know, there's tariffs with, I don't know, steel and I don't know. Things just seem not so easy anymore. So maybe that's part of it. But I do get bent out of shape when I don't buy at the low of the day. And when the stock market corrects by 10% as it did in February, it's very hard for me to think of anything else until I see some type of stabilization and until I can properly asset allocate or feel comfortable because there's so much money at stake now. And when an investment soars like 50%, 100%, I don't even get any pleasure from that either because I'm not using any of the profits for anything. So perhaps there's like a life cycle when it comes to money. You love to manage your money when you don't have a lot. And then when you start gaining a significant amount, you still like it, but you start wondering and hesitating whether you're doing the right thing. And then once you reach a level where it's beyond what you find necessary to live a comfortable lifestyle, you kind of start stressing out, ironically, because, I don't know, you just don't want to lose it all. And it's just way more than you ever thought you would have. So maybe it's better to outsource our money management responsibilities to a team who spends their entire career watching over our wealth. I mean, we hire property managers, we outsource our household duties. So why not outsource our money management duties, especially to professionals and people who spend their entire lives doing this? So let me know your thoughts, folks, on whether you outsource your money management responsibilities to a team or whether you do it yourself. Thanks so much.